الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. وقال الله تعالى في آية أخرى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وأصحابه وبارك وسلم. Respected ulama, mashayikh, imams, our honorable imam, and brothers, mothers, and sisters, and beloved youth, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher, and cherisher of this universe. Peace, blessings, and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Imam mentioned, that the topic allocated is Islamophobia. So when we analyze the topic in subject, there's two parts: Islam and phobia, the fear of Islam. But as Muslim brothers and sisters, if our neighbor or a client who is a non-Muslim wants to ask us what is Islam, how many of us will be able to explain to that person in a few words what Islam is all about? So we need to tell that person Islam is a complete code of life, and we are in the house of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. This house of Almighty Allah and structure has a foundation, it has walls, it has pillars, and that is what Islam stands for. First and foremost, it has a foundation, and that foundation is called, whether you call it Aqeedah, our articles of faith. So in things that which every Muslim must believe in, the oneness of Almighty Allah, all the divine scriptures, all the messengers, the day of judgment, and so on and so forth. Then when we go to our first wall, the wall of Ibadat, that is our acts of worship, our Salat, our fasting, our Hajj, our Ramadan, all those are just one wall of Islam. Many a time we think that if we read our Salat, we are fasting during the month of Ramadan, we are giving our Zakat and our compulsory charity, then we have practiced the whole of Islam, which is a misconception in itself. So that is but one wall of Islam. Then we go to the next wall of Islam and Mu'ashara. Our interaction with people. How do we live with our wives? How do we live with our husbands? How do we live with our parents? With our children? Everyone is addressed, male, female, adult, female, and child. Then how do we interact with non-Muslims? Our character is what they're interested in. They are not interested in how many tahajjud salat you read. So that is a very important aspect of Islam, our interaction with people. Then we come to the third wall of Islam, and that is our mu'amalat, our finances. How are we conducting ourselves in the corporate world? Is it that we just take everything because honey is sweeter than money and money is sweeter than honey? And when we look at today our Muslims, we involve in a great amount of semantics. But interest is being called profit, and we find interest being called commission, and we're legalizing so many things. So that is another wall that we need to concentrate on. And then we come to the final wall, the wall of akhlaq and character. So when we have all four walls with the articles of faith, then we can say that this is Islam in its holistic form. Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla does not want selective practicing on Islam. Almighty Allah wants a total commitment, devotion, dedication to us. And what is that? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Oh, you who believe. 89 times Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla has addressed each one of us. Every time Almighty Allah addressed us, it is to carry out something or to abstain from something. Because this iman is a motivating force. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dukhulu fi silmi kaffa. Enter into Islam in its totality. Enter into peace in its totality. One meaning of silmi, Islam. Second meaning of silmi, peace. Today, we meet one another, we say assalamu alaikum, salam, salam Bhutan. When the Jews meet, they make shalom. And they say peace. But our peace and their peace is a big difference. When they speak of peace, it is not P-E-A-C-E. It is P-I-E-C-E. How you can steal more pieces of Palestinian land? So we need to draw that distinction very clearly. So brothers, Almighty Allah is commanding us, وَدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَةً. Enter into Islam in its totality. Now what we have done? We have been compartments and departments of Islam. The thing I like, I love Ramadan. I love Eid. I love to go for Hajj and Umrah. But other aspects I do not love of Islam. So what we love, that we practice on, and what we do not really like, that we discard. See what Allah says, for us Muslims, before we speak about others. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا خُطُوَاتِ الشَّيْطَانِ. Do not follow the footsteps of the shaitan. When we start making departments and compartments of Islam, this is unimportant, this is insignificant, so then we are following in the footsteps of the shaitan. So that is our first commitment, brothers, that we need to practice on Islam holistically. The whole of Islam in me and myself, my assets, my property, everything for the sake of Islam. Then we can say that we have understood what Islam is. Now let's come to the second part of it. When we study global politics, you will know there was a Cold War. And what happened with the Cold War? They said this is the West, and they said that side is behind the Iron Curtain. You had the great Soviet Union. Then what happened is, with the invasion of Afghanistan, you find that the whole Soviet Union disintegrated. And what happened? Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla chose a group of people who were not in uniform, who did not have all the sophisticated weapons and armory and arsenal. But yet they had the zeal, the strength and the ability to disintegrate and destroy a superpower of their time. Now when the Russians were defeated, and you know everything is there for us to see, now who is going to be the next enemy of the world power and superpower? Brothers, we need to give credit where credit is due. We Muslims, we sleep so much that we must fajr salat also. You enter a chain store, anyone. Every day you need bread, every day you need milk. What would logic tell you? That your bread and your milk, you should place it right there by the counter, people just buy it and then they move out. You will find in the chain stores, the vast majority of it, of them, that the milk and the bread is right in the back. You walk there, you come, and all the chocolates and the sweets are right in front. So when we walk out, so we'll buy one chocolate also. When walking for the bread and milk, we might buy other things, other merchandise, which we do not really need. They study the human mind. Who is going to be the force in the 21st century? In the world, a global player. Who has the most finance? Who has one of the biggest populations? Who has the greatest amount of education to give to the world? So they say it is the Muslims. When you want to fight your enemy, you demonize your enemy. And you call them names. So now they call us terrorists. They call us fundamentalists. And the shame of it all is that some of us are so apologetic that we cannot make a counter-argument. We accept what they say. And we feel that for real, Allah forbid, that al-Islam is sabab al-takhalluf, that Islam is the cause for the backwardness of the Muslim Ummah. Take any aspect of Islam, brothers. I will give it to you now quickly. At random, we just go. Why should we as the Muslim Ummah, male, female, adult and child, ever feel that Islam is the cause for our backwardness or Islam is the cause for us not progressing? There is no such thing. They want you to think like them. What's your thought process when our Bilal thinks like Bani and our Maryam thinks like Mary? They have already won the battlefield without shooting one bullet. Because the Muslim is thinking just like the non-Muslim. This aql, intelligence, intellect which Allah has blessed us with, when we cannot think as a Muslim and behave like a Muslim, we have lost the war. Remember this. Therefore your education, therefore do not get influenced. Let's take quickly examples that are played today in the media. Muslims are trigger happy. Muslims are bloodthirsty. Muslims just want to make skopskit and donor and shoot people. Right? That is what the media tells you. Whether it is on TV, whether it is on the radio, whether it is in print media, that we are bloodthirsty people. Now let us see what Quran says. First and foremost, Quran says, La ikraha fid deen. There is no compulsion in religion. Islam will not accept any person's Islam when the gun is pointed to his head or the sword is put on his neck. Islam does not even recognize the Islam of that person there. Because it is under duress, that person is coerced to embrace Islam. Islam is a willing and loving submission to Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Oh Allah, you are my greatest benefactor. Every moment, every second, you are recurring and showering your bounties upon me. Out of gratitude to you, oh Almighty Allah, I make sajda to you. I read the kalima, ashadu Allah, ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasul. So we need to put the positive picture in front. There is no coercion in Islam. When we speak of jihad, when we speak of fighting, yes, jihad is an integral part of Islam. But when does jihad in the meaning of qital come into operation? It only comes into operation, brothers, when the ummah goes to a place, we invite people. Invite people how? That you yourself must have the conviction that what Islam is saying is the best. If we ourselves are apologetic, we don't have the conviction, then the da'wah and invitation is counterproductive. قُلَ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِ يَدُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Tell them, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I invite you towards Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. Analyze the word basir. Basira is you are seeing something with your own eyes. You are convinced that this is the way. So when we invite people towards Islam, we ourselves must have the conviction within ourselves, this is the best way. Nay, this is the only way. Ala basiratin ana wa man ittaba'ani. This is the way of Mustafa alayhi salam and those who follow me. If you want to take examples quickly, study Hinduism. What does Hinduism tell us? If the husband dies, the wife must show her loyalty to such an extent that when the husband's body is being cremated, then she herself must throw herself on the pyre that where the husband is burning and cremated. They call it Sati in Hinduism. And in some parts of the world, till today, they practice on it, although it is outlawed in most countries. That is part of Hinduism. Now ask yourself, Islam came to save us from the fire, not to put us in the fire. When the Sahaba went, the Tabi'een went, the non-Muslims would ask, for what did you come here? Subhanallah, brothers. Rabi ibn Amir, what did he say? We want to take you away min ibadatil ibad ila ibadati rabbil ibad. We want to take you away from that system where you worship creation of Almighty Allah and you worship the one Allah Azza wa Jalla. That is what Islam stands for. We want to take you away min jawrin insan, min jawrin adyan, ila adalatil Islam. We want to take you away from the zulam of people and other religions to the justice system of Islam. We want to take you away min dhilil dunya, from the smallness and the constraintedness of this world, ila wus'atil akhirah wal jannah. We want to take you to the spaciousness of the hereafter and jannah and paradise. This is the message we go with. These are the ambassadors of Islam. So that is Hinduism. Today they tell us, there's a cartoon going around now on the internet. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Naqlul kufri laysa bi kafirin. Lekala kufur, kufur, nabashib, we say in Farsi, in Persian. I am telling you what they are doing. Two people come and they want to embrace Islam. So this person takes them to the clergy, or he takes them to the rabbi, and he says, how can you become a Muslim? Do you know who Muhammad is? This is the cartoon he's playing on the internet. And he's a man who got married to a young girl. So we go to Judaism. In Judaism, you have the Torah and you have the Talmud. For us, the Jew, if he's honest, and the rabbi, your Talmud allows you, as a rabbi, that you can sleep with a 5-year-old girl and 5-year-old daughter. Show me any Islamic law that allows you that. You call us pedophiles, you call us cradle snatchers, but your Talmud, your book tells us that you are the people who allow this for your rabbis. So who is the terrorist? Where is the human rights? Where is the integrity of the human being? This is the arguments you need to put up. But when the ummah, we suffer from a complex, then what do we expect? So these are the issues that we need to give them and tell them, Islam has brought something better. It is not a clash of civilization as they want us to believe. It is a clash of light and of darkness. What you are teaching is darkness. You want to take us back to the dark ages. What is Islam, brothers? Read Quran. All these verses in the Quran. Quickly we go through it. Who is Allah Azza wa Jalla? Allah nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the light, the luster, the splendor on the heavens and the earth. Who is the master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? قَدْ جَاكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ نُورُهُ وَكِتَابٌ مُبِينٌ. The Master Nabi alayhi salam is nur for you, and he brought the kitab that is explaining and manifest. What is Islam? أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ فَهُوَ عَلَى نُورٍ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Whosoever Allah has opened your bosom and your heart, then remember Allah has illuminated it with nur, light and splendor. You read the Quran every day, we heard the wonderful qiraat. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ نُورًا مُبِينًا. We have revealed the light to you. Now what is the nur, O brothers and sisters in Islam? We go to Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, and he said, الظاهر لنفسه والمظهر لغيره. That nur is that itself is illuminated, and you go and illuminate the hearts of others. Today they call us names, Islamophobia. That these people want to shoot, they want to commit suicide bombers, they want to do this, they want to do that. Right in the thick of battle. Hadith in Muslim Ahmad. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is this side, the Jews are on that side, Khaybar. If you go today to Medina Munawwara, you will see the board showing you Khaybar. That was one of the most populated and densely populated places of the Jews during the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Right in the battlefield, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, O Ali, we are right in the battle, O Ali, my son-in-law. Through you, if one person embraces Islam, huwa khairun laka min humuri na'am, it is better for you than all the red camels put together. It's better for you in nowadays translation, all the Mercs and 4x4s and BMWs. If Islam was a religion for bloodshed, and we are bloodthirsty, and this cops get an honor, then why the need for all this? Islam wants peace, but peace based on justice. Peace based on justice. You can't have one rule for Israel and you have another rule for Palestine. They speak of Islamophobia. Now see the media, the semantics they play with. Hamas wins a democratic election. The only people who want a democratic election free and fair in the entire Middle East. No other country can be so proud of that. What do they say? You see on your TV, your radio, and your print media, the militant organization. When they say militant organization, what are you trying to say? When the Christians come to me, or they phone, or they speak, I say, you know, I was a young boy. That time there was no TV, nothing. I had to open the Star newspaper there in Transvaal, our old Transvaal, and read about IRA. This side they had in Belfast, the Protestants, the other side they had the Catholics. No one ever said Christianity is hijacked. No one ever said that these are militant Christians. No one ever said that these are terrorists. How come when Christianity were one another's throats, they were fighting like cats and dogs, you never gave them this title? But when it came to Muslims, then you changed the goalpost. Now you call us militant, you call us terrorists. Where is your justice system? You are supposed to be people who are enlightened people, number one. Number two, when they tell you, the Muslim leader who's a moderate leader, will tell you that this is a moderate Muslim. Remember, that means he's a sellout as far as we are concerned. They won him over with aurat or dalat. Either they gave him a woman or either they gave him money somewhere. You just need to check the bank accounts and you will find it out. So you need to understand these terms as far as the media goes. When they say moderate leader, then we go to Khalid bin Walid. When Khalid bin Walid wrote a letter to Rustum, what did he say? Oh Rustum, we will only use fighting as a last resort. But remember, if the need arises, إِنَّمَا إِيَقَوْمُ يُحِبُّونَ الْقِتَالَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ كَمَا تُحِبُّونَ الْخَمَرِ. With me, there's a people who love to dice with death and give their life in the path of Allah as you love your alcohol. In today's culture, they are wine, swine. In thy culture, remember, we don't want that culture. That's a culture we don't want. Another term you need to be very careful about. When you are in Britain, in UK, and it's coming to South Africa, you need to assimilate with the country in which you are. What does it mean you need to assimilate? You need to accept their culture. You need to dress like them. You need to think like them. You need to behave like them. Today is a Saturday night. They all go into the pub. They go into the club. So we need to go to the pub. We need to go to the club and behave like them. Then you are a person who has went and assimilated with them. You know what Quran says? وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. If you study the words in the Quran, وَدَّ. وَدَّ means الْمُبَالَغَةُ فِي التَّمَنِّي. An ardent, ardent, strong, strong desire. كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. The vast majority of the people of the book have the strong, strong, ardent desire. لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ. They want to take you away from your iman. مِن بَعْدِ إِمَانِكُمْ كُفَّارًا. Take you to their religion. You join them, you ape them, you mimic them, we are fine. We are all brothers then. What is the reason? حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمُ الْحَقِّ. Their jealousy is the cause. They know that the Muslims, we don't have the AIDS problem. We don't have the suicide problem. We don't have the rape problem. We don't have the abortion problem. I'm speaking of percentage-wise. Look at their percentage, 5 million and take 5 million Muslims. Take 100 million of them and take 100 million of us. In any country. And then see the results and the proportions. This is the deen Islam has come with, brothers. And when they speak of Islamophobia, then explain to them always that Islam is there to remain. They say we don't give women their rights. They say Islam is a chauvinistic religion. We say, fine, why don't you ask your women in America and Europe and study the demographics and how many people are embracing Islam today? And when you look at the survey and percentage, you will find 2/3 of them are women, your women, are embracing Islam because they realize the natural beauty in Islam. And you study your system, you speak on inheritance. They tell us, how can a woman inherit half? How can a woman inherit half and a man gets 2-to-1 ratio? Islam brought about a revolution through the evolutionary process. You go study the Quranic age, women would not get 1 cent, children would not get 1 penny. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam came in inheritance, the laws were brought about, 12 people are considered as Quranic age. 8 of them are females and 4 are males. Who's getting double, who's getting single? Understand Islam, my brothers. This is where we fail. They will always try their best. But look at how we fail. Your neighbor sees you making wudu the whole time. And then he asks you, for what are you making wudu? Now we are stunned already. So you tell him, brother, you see when I wash my hands, then I am seeing the color of the water. When I insert the water into my mouth, I am tasting the water. And when I insert it in my nose and nostrils, then it tells me the smell of water. Water has three qualities: the color, the taste, and the smell. When it passes all three, then it is faced, then it is passed for and used for the greatest part of my anatomy. Now I can make wudu. Faqsilu wujuhakum wa aydiyakum and then wamsahu bi ru'usikum. The beauty of Islam in our ablution, in our wudu. Teach the non-Muslim what is ablution. They go to the toilet and then they don't use water because they believe in spray painting, was better beaters. So take the spray and do this. Our Ahmad Didad, rahimahullah, what he told them? I was there in his office when he told a non-Muslim. He said, you go in that toilet, I'll go in that toilet, I will wash my back and posterior with water, and you take a toilet paper. You know, Ahmed Bhai sometimes was very hard on them. So he told them, we both will drop our trousers and then we bend, we come and see where the fly will sit first. You don't wash your backside and your posterior properly and you're not going to get a cleanliness. Salat. Show them the beauty of Salat. What is Salat? We read two rakat Fajr Salat. What are we doing? Oh Allah, you bless me with the sense of feeling and touching. I touch this, I know it's cold or it's warm. When I read my two rakats, I thank you, O Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, for that sense. When I read Zuhr Salat, I thank Almighty Allah for Waqubat Samia. I can listen the qiraat, any direction, the adhan, right, left, front, back. Oh Allah, I read my four rakats for you. When we read Asr Salat, then we need four rakats for Waqubat Shamma. The itter and the perfume and the fragrance comes. Or somebody breaks his wudu from the back. You know the wind? So the terrible pungent smell that comes. So you close the nose because it's coming from all four directions. So what happens? We thank Allah for that. When we read Maghrib, we thank Almighty Allah for quwwat al-basar. Oh Allah, you gave me sight. I can see in front, I can see right, I can see left. When we read our Isha Salat, we thank Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla quwwat al-zaiqa. Oh Allah, you gave me that sense of tasting. I can taste those things that are sweet, sour, bitter or salt. Therefore we read four rakats. Explain to the people, they are thirsty, my brothers. When you don't explain Islam to them, some of them are just ignorant and some of them are very proud and arrogant. So therefore they become our enemies. But we need to take the blame partly as well, that we have not offered them the beauty of Islam. The priest and the Maulana, the sheikh, the imam were traveling in the plane. So obviously when they see us dressed like that, they don't want to speak politics. Oh, your Islam, terrible religion. Fine, terrible. You made a claim, why? Substantiated on evidence. They say you oppress your woman. Fine, we oppress a woman. Why? Why, sir? Why, clergy? Say, yes, you want to keep them in the home, they must wear the hijab, they must wear this, they must do that. Keep them covered. So the imam, the sheikh, Allah gave him insight. He said, clergy, you oppress your money. Where you keep all your money? He said, in the bank. He said, exposed or it's all hidden and covered? He said, no, it's all covered. So if we oppress our women, then you're oppressing your money. So everything there is a logical answer also. But me and you, we need to remove this from our mind, being apologetic. Always remember you need to take the affirmative stance that we will never apologize for Islam. Amirul Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, when they conquered the land of Palestine, three sentences of the khutbah, brothers. What did he say? A lesson for every Muslim. Inna dawlat al-dhulm ilasa'a. When you have a country and it is based on oppression, today look at America, Guantanamo Bay, a shame and disgrace to them. The United Nations said you need to close it down, yet they are not closing it down, but they threatened Iran today. How can you threaten other countries when it's a disgrace what you have done? The whole world is crying out that what have you done to the 500 Muslims there? What have they done in Abu Ghraib? See, learn another thing. You make Abu Ghraib, grape, not grape or grapes, Abu Ghraib. Learn the proper pronunciation. So what have you done in Abu Ghraib? A shame, a disgrace. Even your own people are ashamed of it. But these are the champions of human rights, democratic dispensations. Think, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's khutbah. When you have a country, you have power, and it is based on oppression, it will only last for a short while. In your own eyes, in 60, 70, show me one person here
Whoever dreamt apartheid will fall to pieces. Margaret Thatcher told the ANC, you are dreaming of power. Margaret Thatcher told the ANC, when they went and met her, you are dreaming of power. Because in 70, anything based on falsehood, innal batila kana zahuqa, anything based on falsehood, it must perish. Allah will never let it last. You saw apartheid falling in front of your eyes. You saw the Soviet Union. You will see Israel. Very soon, inshallah. Then, Zionism thrown to pieces. Capitalism of America falling to pieces. Because it is a false system. The Master Nabi alayhi salatu salam, what happened? The more Abu Jahl, the more Abu Lahab, the more the enemies of Islam threw in his direction. Don't embrace Islam, don't become Muslim, don't go to him, don't listen to his Quran. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِي. Don't listen to this Quran, make a big noise, and nobody must listen. What did Allah do? وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. Allah elevated the Master, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even more. Oh Nabi, you are one, you are illuminated. You started one, and in Arafat alone, 124,000 candles were there already. This is the challenge you, me and you have to rise up to. Don't speak of Islamophobia and say no, that we must stay back. We need to become much more active. Take Islam to all, and all to Islam. And speak about the political system of Islam, and the military system of Islam, and the social system of Islam, the economic system of Islam. And show them anything you want. Take your Bible. Lut alayhi salatu salam, can you? When I was in Newcastle, Sundays used to go to the township and give da'wah. The Christians came. Same to the same house where we were. All people said, leave them. So they carried on. So they had a Zulu Bible. Now I couldn't read Zulu. So I just told him, open the section there on Genesis and Lot. Lut alayhi salatu salam. We opened. Young boy, 15, 14 years old. I say, read. He read, I'm in masjid, brothers. He read the youngster, he shook his head. High corn. This is something fishy here. There's something wrong here. You tell me, brothers, any person in his right mind, can he commit incest with his own daughter? The Bible speaks of Lut alayhi salatu salam getting drunk and committing incest with his daughters. Yaqub alayhi salatu salam having a wrestling match with God. Make one ring, come God, let's play some wrestling now. Jacob wrestles with God. Brothers in Islam, the more they attack us, the more Islam will rise. After 9/11, Islam, the people went, go to Europe, I've been last year to Australia, to London, to UK, Scotland. The more they try and attack us after 9/11, the Quran Kareem, the translations of it, were went out of print in some countries. People wanted to know, what is this Islam all about? After this cartoon controversy, people want to know, who is the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now what we need to do, we also need to be proactive. You got your non-Muslim neighbor, you got your non-Muslim client, businessman, corporate world. You take a nice seerah, written in English, Afrikaans, whatever, but present him. This is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read it with an open mind. So we need to take that initiative and give them, first read ourselves, who is Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Look at him in the military field, look at him in the economic field, look at the revolution he brought about. Fath Makkah. Show me one revolution in any part of the world like Fath Makkah. 8th year of the Hijrah. We'll end on this inshallah. You speak of Islamophobia. This was Islamophobia. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was about to enter. Wa alayhi imamatun sawda. He had his black turban on. Sa'd radiallahu entered. And Abu Sufyan told him, what you gonna do? He said, Abu Sufyan, al-yawmu yawmul malhama. The malhama is this. Today, the meat is going to fly on Sunday al-Rahma. Today, we're going to fix you up. You think we forgot what you did with Bilal? You think we forgot what you did with Sumayya radiallahu anha? You think we forgot what you did with Khabbab? All day today, we're going to fix you up. Can you imagine Abu Sufyan, the leader? 2 years prior to death, he prevented Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam from entering. And now the tables have turned. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam enters. Abu Sufyan says, Ya Rasulullah, what are you going to do? Look at Rahmatul Alameen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Al-Yawmu Yawmul Marhama. Oh Abu Sufyan, today is a day of mercy. Wa ma arsalnaka illa rahmatul alameen. He enters Makkah Mukarramah. The people are waiting. The same people who drove him out and expelled him. When he looked at Makkah the last time before going, what did he say? Antu ya habbu ilayya. That, oh Makkah, you are the most beloved land to me. Lawla akhrajuni minki ma kharaju min. Had they not expelled me from you, I would never have left you. With tears in the eyes of the master, he left Makkah Mukarramah. Today the Meccans are waiting. What do you think I'm going to do to you? See, akhlaq. They said, Ya Rasulullah, you are Kareem, Ibnul Kareem, Ibnul Kareem. You are honorable, the son of someone honorable. We expect something honorable. They said, go, antumut tulaqa, la tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Go, I have forgiven you. The master stroke that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam played, yadkhuluna fi deenillahi afwaja, took place. That Almighty Allah made them all come into the fold of Islam because they realized who the master Nabi alayhi wa sallam is. So today, the media and the enemies are trying their think tanks and all their schemes to poison the minds of people against us. But it is for us to rise up to the challenge and with our akhlaq, with our business, and with showing the people that we care for them. And I'll conclude with 2 points now, brothers. We are here in the Atlantic Ocean and Indian Ocean. And you have 2 choices. What are the 2 choices? When you look at an ocean, we were there today, you will find wonderful bubbles there. That bubble Almighty Allah speaks about. فَأَمَّا الزَّبَدُ فَيَذْهَبُ جُفَاءً. As for the bubble, it remains on top. It is a symbol of falsehood. So anyway, brothers, the point I'm making, now look at that water and that bubble on top. It remains on top for a little while, then it disappears. These are all the falsehood. All the isms, apartheid, Zionism, capitalism, this ism, that ism. They remain on top and then they disappear. They told Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, your sons all have passed away, no one will know you. You are abtar. Abtar means you don't have sons, your lineage will not continue. What Allah said? Inna shani'aka huwa al-abtar. The one who hates you and detests you, his abtar will crush him to pieces. Who knows today the enemies of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Very few of them we know, but the master Nabi alayhi salatu salam, the whole world knows. This is the beauty of Islam. So we have the choice. You become the bubble, then we are good for nothing. Because we are symbolizing evil and falsehood. What must you become, O Ummat Muslimah? Wa amma ma yanfa'u an-nas fayamkuthu fil ard. That remember, you need to become an asset. Like the water is the gift of life. Like the water is the essence of life. Oh Ummat Muslimah, take this Islam and quench the thirst of people. If we don't quench the thirst of people with the water of Islam, they will quench their thirst with drugs and alcohol. And we will be the people who will wonder what happened. Because we did not do our job. So take Islam and look at the water. Then everybody, ma yanfa'u an-nas, become an asset to humanity. This is our function, inshallah. And last, my brothers, remember, before death overtakes us, let us make peace with Almighty Allah. Let us make peace with our fellow human beings. And remember, brothers, tomorrow we are all going to stand in the court of Almighty Allah alone. We came alone with our hands clasped. See your child, how he's born. Ask your wife. And when we leave, we will leave with our hands open. Because when this human being comes into this world, greed overtakes. My house, my car, my property, my. And when we leave with our hands open. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahimahullah, the sage of the age, what did he say? وَكَمْ مِنْ كَفَنٍ مَغْسُولُ وَصَاحِبُهُ بِالسُّوقِ مَجْهُولُ. Oh Muslim, oh Muslimah, how many kafans are being washed every day? You hear on Voice of the King, you hear on Radio 786 on Channel Islam. So and so person passed away, janazah at that time. وَكَمْ مِنْ كَفَنٍ مَغْسُولُ. How many shrouds are being washed every day? وَصَاحِبُهُ بِالسُّوقِ مَجْهُولُ. But the person who's going into the kafa, and me and you, we are so busy in the marketplace, in the bazaar. Today is this sale and today is this discount. As though we're never going to die. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَبَرٍ مَحْفُورُ. How many graves have been dug every day in the graveyard? Just look at the vacant grave and see. Our hair will stand up. وَكَمْ مِنْ قَبَرٍ مَحْفُورُ وَصَاحِبُهُ بِسُرُورِ مَغْرُورُ. And the person going to the grave, me and you, we are deceived with the occasions of joy and happiness. Today I'm 70 years old. Today my daughter graduated. Today my son became a lawyer, a doctor, and graduated. Occasions of joy and happiness deceive us. وَكَمْ مِنْ فَمِنْ ضَاحِكُ وَهُوَ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ هَالِكُ. How many a person is smiling today? Before we die, brothers, وَهُوَ عَنْ قَرِيبٍ هَالِكُ. O Muslims, very soon you'll be history. Brothers and sisters in Islam, before we become history, let us make history. What legacy have we left? You in Cape Town, you see it every day. Sheikh Yusuf Rahimullah came here. He left a legacy. Every Muslim in Southern Africa is indebted to him. He came and he left a legacy. What legacy we are in? What did we do for the Ummah, for humanity at large? What did we do? So take this Islam, my brothers, and share it, and victory is definitely ours. No. I told you, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's khutbah, inna dawlat al-dhulmi nasa'a, that a government, a country based on oppression will last a short while. Inna dawlat al-adli ila qiyami sa'a, when you have a government based on justice, it will last to the day of Qiyamah. And then he said the wonderful words, this kind of word, we should have a frame of it in our home. نَحْنُ قَوْمُنَا عَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. We are a people and a nation. Allah honored us with Islam. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Umar said, وَمَهْمَا نَطْلُبُ غَيْرَهُ لَأَذَلَّنَا اللَّهُ. Seek any other ism, Allah will disgrace us. So we must be committed, dedicated, devoted to Islam, inshallah, brothers and sisters. And inshallah, when we leave this world, that becomes the best day in our life, when we leave with the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Make dua for us also. Almighty Allah, Azza wa Jalla, accept all of us. Amen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillah.